speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We introduce our thoughts this afternoon by looking at the 142nd Psalm, the first four verses. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. When we look at these words of David, it's no wonder that he begins by saying, I cried unto the Lord. And verse 5, I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. For you see, when he failed to find any man that could support him and sustain him, he could only go to the Lord. And so David was down in the pits of depression, or at least a common malady for most people, and that is loneliness. And loneliness is a widespread problem. It comes to all people. It's an age-old problem. A great number of people in the Bible have experienced loneliness. Moses felt loneliness when he fled from the land of Egypt after killing a man. He went into a lonely wilderness, and there he lived for 40 years. David found it necessary to hide in a cave when Saul had made a death threat upon him. And many times he pours out his heart to God in the book of Psalms, just as we have read in Psalms 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand, behold, no man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Elijah, though he was the only righteous man left, at least in his own mind that was the case, he was so lonely that he was willing to die. After denying his Lord three times, the great servant Peter went out and wept bitterly. Paul was left alone in a Roman prison while sending out his associates to preach the gospel in other places. So loneliness is a very common problem. It's most widespread in the presence of tragedy or illness or death or divorce or retirement. But I've also seen it occur in those moments when a person felt absolutely abandoned or misunderstood, or when there was criticism or rejection or guilt. It's connected with a feeling of being different from others, a sense of not belonging, a fear of being hurt. And so it comes to teenagers. It comes to housewives. It comes to the sick. It comes to the elderly. And the displaced all fall into this category. Well, what are some of the symptoms of loneliness? Well, the symptoms vary. Sometimes it's stooped shoulders, or a pained expression, a slow, distressed walk. It may lead to obesity. It leads to silence often and withdrawal. And loneliness can happen at any time in life. It doesn't just occur on the dark days. On a spring-like morning, it can pierce us, and on a sunny afternoon, as well as a cold winter day, we can be hit with loneliness. And I'm told that many times people will dial that number that you find in the phone book, where you'll hear a voice saying the time and the temperature, just to be able to hear a human voice. And so it's a very common malady. It's a very serious one. Why is there so much loneliness? Why do so many people believe that no one cares for them? Well, our highly mobile, industrialized society contributes a great deal to it. We're told that one in every five families moves each year. And so roots that were sunk deep into the soil of familiarity are torn up through a separation from familiar people and places. And it leads to estrangement, to social isolation, and often depression results. Well, what's the answer to this problem of loneliness? Where can we find a solution? Well, here are some suggestions I believe that can help us in dealing with loneliness. Number one, understand yourself. That's a beginning to understanding your loneliness. The streets of the world are teeming with men and women who mutilate themselves spiritually and mentally in self-criticism and self-degradation. Many people go through life committing partial suicide, destroying their talents, destroying their energies, destroying their creative qualities, and their potential loving selves. They view themselves as inferior, inadequate, incapable of loving. When one is a stranger to himself, one is estranged from others as well. If a person is out of touch with himself, then he can't make himself in touch with others. A healthy sense of self-respect is the first step toward dealing with loneliness. That you are unique, you are individual, you are a creation in the image of God, and that you are important. A second suggestion, become responsible to your choices and for your choices. You can't always choose your experiences in life. Sometimes those experiences will choose you. Illness, the loss of a friend, the loss of a spouse, layoff from work, retirement. These are not matters that we can always control. But we do have a choice in determining how we're going to react to any situation. It isn't what happens to you, but how you choose to respond that really counts. You can blame others for your hurt, or you see yourself as the victim of your misfortune and mistakes. You can brood, you can withdraw, you can withdraw from society. Or you can confront your disappointment, you can confront your problem head on, and you can continue in spite of it. Number three, learn to communicate, and learn to communicate effectively. Now, you're probably aware of the impoverished communication in our society today, of people talking but not saying what they mean, the contradictions between the outward words and the expression of the voice or the inner meaning, of people looking as if they were listening without any real contact with one another. Too often we receive the words, but we do not receive the actual message, the deep, sensitive, fragile inner feelings. Loneliness deepens when the need for compassion and understanding and for a longing response is not recognized or not noticed. Communicating with someone else involves more than just hearing another person's words. It means being willing to help someone open up his heart, to understand, identify with his true feelings. It means stopping and really listening to one another, really hearing what another is saying. So seek to cultivate the art of good communication. This will help overcome your loneliness. And then a fourth suggestion, assume the responsibility for loving. Maturity involves a gradual movement away from the dependent child whose need is to be loved to be the adult who wants to give love. The loneliest people in the world are those who have stopped loving. The joy of life comes from helping others and projecting your attention toward the need of others. And the key word is initiative. Begin with a small risk. Greet a stranger before he or she speaks. Start a conversation with someone sitting next to you. Invite a neighbor over for coffee or tea. Visit a sick person or an elderly person. Share your time. This will help you lose those feelings of separateness and feel the ties that bind us all together. And then the last suggestion, trust in God. Part of the tragedy of modern man is that he feels alienated from God in many cases because, indeed, he is alienated from God. And this is the deepest kind of loneliness that no man-made medicine can cure. God is the only final and absolute answer to the reality of our loneliness. So we need to trust in God. The wise men said in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Indeed, we do need to trust in God. Trusting in God is simply depending upon God, depending upon Him that He has the ability to act, and we have a trust in that ability. Our faith can be strengthened as we exercise it. We have to apply it to our problems, the problems of poverty or illness or grief or tangled human relationships or loneliness. With God, there is no situation that is hopeless. The nature and character of God's love for us is found in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but might have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. And in Romans 5, verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, we're sinners, and Christ died for us. How do we respond to that love of Christ and that love of God? One is by trusting Him, believing His Word, and trusting His commandments, and then by being obedient to the commandments of God. One of those commands is that we repent. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. And Christ said, "I tell ye, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Well, when one has made the resolve that he's going to give up the practice of sin, he's going to turn away from it, he needs to turn to God in confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 10. One then needs to be buried with Christ in baptism, not to turn over a new leaf, but to begin a new life. Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." And the Apostle Paul said of those who had been baptized, "You are now a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so accept the Lord's compassion and grace. Be obedient to His commandments. And then you can have the assurance of the promise He made His disciples, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." For today, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.